नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय I welcome all of our honored devotees. Many sincere souls have been planning and sacrificing much time to make this auspicious ceremony a very, very pleasing and wonderful offering to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and to all of the assembled Vaishnavas. At Sri Radha Gopinath Temple, this night of Sharad Purnima is one of the most beautiful darshans of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath in all the year. Krishna appears in this world to attract our hearts back into his eternal loving service. Material existence is a place of much confusion and suffering. The reason for that is that the eternal soul, whose nature is to find unlimited happiness in our dormant natural love for Krishna, is trying to find that same love through various misdirected pursuits. Everyone is looking for pleasure. That is the inseparable nature of life, which is the symptom of the presence of the Atma. Where is true pleasure? That is something that is rarely understood, especially in this age of Kali. People are creating entire civilizations, putting generations and generations of labor with their intelligence, their planning, and their hard physical work, trying to create an environment of pleasure. Unfortunately, it is simply not possible to find pleasure in forgetfulness of our eternal nature. Like a fish trying to find happiness outside of the sea, people are trying to find happiness outside of our relationship with God. Krishna is all attractive because it is Krishna alone who can perfectly love us with unlimited volumes of ecstatic affection for all eternity. And it is Krishna alone in whom the soul can repose its complete propensity and aspiration to love someone. Due to misuse of our free will, we enter into this material existence and we remain within this material existence. Gita tells us, dukalaya mashashvatam. In this world, everything is temporary. Our physical bodies and all those things that our physical bodies become attached to in search of happiness. Unsatisfied. But Krishna is so kind. Yada yada hi dharamasya glanir bharati bharati. He appears in this world again and again and again. And his main purpose for coming is to attract our hearts again to his all-merciful, all-beautiful love. Krishna's form is eternal, full of knowledge and bliss. Lord Brahma created this material complex. He knows how it works. He knows why it works. He prays, Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchit Ananda Vigraha Anadi Radhir Govinda Sarvakaranakara. That Krishna is the supreme controller of all controllers. Everyone has an inclination to control something. A child wants to control his or her little toys, or tries to control parents by crying like this. So everyone has that. Generally, children don't just cry because they're in pain. Usually they cry because they really want to control you. And they're expert at it. The mother is controlled by her love toward the child. And the mother feels great happiness being controlled by love. Unfortunately, in this world, people want to control out of pride, out of greed, out of some sort of unfulfilled ambition of the mind. But Krishna is the supreme controller of all controllers. Janmadyashayataha, from him everything emanates. Aham sarvasya prabhavo mat sarvam pravartate iti matpa vajante mam buddha bhava samanvita. All spiritual and all material worlds are emanating from Krishna. One who knows this properly, a wise person, worships Krishna with all their hearts. The goal of life is to love Krishna. There's no other real goal of life than to know Krishna and love Krishna. Prema pumartha mahan. There is no higher goal. So Krishna appears again and again to attract our love. One time in a day of Brahma, Krishna appears in his original supreme form in this world. Goloka Vrindavan is the aprakata dham. It is the dham that is eternally manifested beyond material existence in the spiritual sky. It is the abode that is of a more intimate nature than all the other Vaikuntha planets. In Goloka, there is the eternal rasas, or loving emotions and mellows exchanged between the Lord and his devotees. The Brahma Jyoti, or the impersonal, all-pervading aspect of the Lord is simply the effulgence emanating from His divine, beautiful form. So many impersonalistic philosophers are very much attracted to that effulgence. Why? Because it is emanating from the form of Lord Krishna. How much more millions of times attractive is that form in whom we can love and be loved by? When Krishna descends to this world, He brings a replica which is non-different than the eternal world of Goloka into this world. That is Gokul Vrindavan or Bhauma Vrindavan. Krishna descends to the world, and Goloka Vrindavan, although still remaining where it is, also appears with Him. That is the Prakata Dham manifested within the world. When Krishna was about to come to the material world, He explained His purpose to His eternal beloved pleasure potency, Srimati Radharani. The science of Radha and Krishna is the highest of all subjects. The one absolute truth expands Himself eternally in two forms for the purpose of unlimited ecstatic love, and to facilitate innumerable living entities to share that loving affair. All of existence of the spiritual worlds are simply meant to facilitate that loving relationship of God, the one God in the forms of Radha and Krishna. The supreme enjoyer is Krishna and the supreme enjoyed is Sri Radhika. The supreme predominator is Krishna and the supreme predominated is Srimati Radharani. So Krishna explained, if I go, you must also come. She said, I want to come. However, I cannot leave Vrindavan. I cannot be without Govardhan and Jamuna and the Chintamani dust of Sri Braj Bhumi. Krishna tells that they will all come ahead of us to prepare for our journey. So innumerable Nitya Siddha devotees, the expansions of the Lord and Sri Radharani, and the eternal associates of the Lord from the spiritual world expand themselves to come into this world of Vrindavan. Although it is beyond all geographical limitations, still, by the Lord's mercy, it appears between Delhi and Agra, by today's calculations on the map. There, like the sun rises in the eastern horizon, Krishna appeared to the vision of this world by taking His birth as the son of Devaki Vasudev, Nanda and Yashoda. As Srimati Radharani appeared as the daughter of Vrishabhanu Maharaj and Kirtita Bai. They displayed the eternal pastimes of the spiritual world, and at the same time displayed many exciting, wonderful pastimes, specially performed in this world, such as the killing of demons. Because there's no demons in the spiritual world. Krishna performs unlimited varieties of pastimes. And by hearing about them, by speaking about them, by remembering them, the natural love within us is awakened. It is the most simple and pleasing process of spiritual enlightenment. Simply to hear, to chant, and to remember the names and the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the various religions of the world, we find the Lord revealing Himself to different types of people in different ways according to where they live, what languages they speak, and what particular state of spiritual evolution they are on at that time. In some religions, the Lord reveals Himself as an all-powerful Father who will show His wrath and anger upon those who sin and cast them into miserable situations, and who will be merciful and fatherly to those who are good and who obey His laws. He also presents within His own scriptures the worship of various demigods, who are the Lord's deputed agents within this material world. And by worshiping them according to the proper scriptural instructions, we can fulfill our material desires, and at the same time, we have some regulative principles and some restrictions and some acceptance of authority within our lives. So we are elevated by that process in a gradual way. Srimad Bhagavatam is the spotless Purana. It deals with unconditional, unalloyed devotion, untinged by artha kama dhamma moksha. That means worshipping the Lord for economic development, sense gratification, religiosity, or even mukti or liberation. Pure love is without even a tinge of aspiration for any of these gifts of God. One simply loves for the sake of loving. One simply gives one's body, mind, words, life for the pleasure of the object of our love. We find in Srimad Bhagavatam the description of the love of the inhabitants of Vaikuntha, where the devotees there, eternal love in the service of Lord Narayan or His various incarnations, where they give their hearts, their souls, their loves, knowing that He is God, He is supreme, and we are eternally His servants. We will obey Him, we will serve Him, we will please Him forever. The Srimad Bhagavatam prepares our consciousness from the first verse of the first canto to higher and higher understandings of devotion. Until ultimately Shukadeva Goswami speaks to Parikshit Maharaj on the subject of the 10th canto. The first canto is considered to be the feet of the Lord. And we must start, according to proper etiquette, by taking shelter of the feet and then gradually to the 10th canto, which is His beautiful, moon-like, smiling face. There, in great detail, is the explanation of the love of the residents of Vrindavan. Or even the cows and the peacocks, the parrots, the sky, the river, the trees, the creepers, even the bees. Everything in Vrindavan is living simply for the pleasure of Radha and Krishna. Everyone is in the spirit of servant of the servant of the servant to simply bring more and more pleasure to Krishna and his devotees. In Sakya Ras, Krishna gives such an intensely elevated level of pure love to his Gopa friends that by Krishna's own pure yoga maya potency, they forget that he is God. Now, this forgetfulness is not like our forgetfulness. In the material world, we have forgotten our relationship that Krishna is God and we are the servant because of our enviousness. We want to enjoy separate from God. We don't want to serve. We want to be served. We want to enjoy. We don't want to be enjoyed. So to facilitate our desire, the Maya, Mahamaya potency covers us and makes us forget who we are, the eternal soul, and who is Krishna, our eternal lover. But those blessed souls in the Sakya Ras of the spiritual world, by the Yogamaya potency. Yoga means to unite. The Yogamaya potency covers Krishna's majestic supreme opulences only to bring us together with Krishna in a deeper, more ecstatic form of loving. Unconditional to the extent, it doesn't matter whether he's God or not, we love him simply because he's Gopal. It is the purest, unconditional love, this spontaneous nature. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami explains Krishna's mind. Krishna reveals his mind to his devotees and through his scriptures. That love is crippled when it is according to one's worshipping me due to my supreme, all-powerful, majestic opulences. The purest love that is most satisfying to the Lord is that which is spontaneous. The cowherd boys were given the chance by Krishna eternally to play with him, to sing with him, to dance with him, to spend the whole day with him, eating with him, herding the cows with him. Every game that has ever been played in its pure original form was played between Krishna and Gopas. They would wrestle with him. They would swim with him. They would throw amalaki fruits in the air and then catch it. They would play ball with him. When Lord Brahma saw Krishna and cowherd boys, they were sitting around taking prasad, and Krishna would bite something and they would say, "Oh, very nice," and he would give remnants, and then the boy would bite some prasad and he would see how the boy was enjoying, and Krishna would say, "Please give to me," and Krishna would take remnants. Brahma was thinking, this is the supreme absolute truth. This is the origin of everything. The all-powerful master of all the worlds, and he's eating from the plates of these little cowherd boys? He could not understand what is this Vrindavan Leela in its truth.
by Krishna's arrangement.
And even deeper and more inclusive than this Sakya Ras of being Krishna's personal, intimate friend, playing with him all day, every day, for all eternity,
is Vatsalya Ras.
All of the elder gopas and gopis in Vrindavan have this ras, this mellow, where they're loving Krishna as their own child. Nanda and Yashoda are on the highest platform of Vatsalya Ras. Yashoda Mai's milk is just flowing from her breast in ecstatic, intense, motherly love. And when Krishna drinks that milk, what a reciprocation. He's drinking her pure love. He's just not milking drink. He's not drinking milk. He's drinking her pure love for him. And as he's sucking and as she's giving the milk, there's a reciprocation of ecstasy there that can never be comprehended by anyone in its truth except Krishna and Yashoda themselves. And the king of Braja, Nanda Maharaj, he's teaching Krishna how to do so many things. And when Krishna goes to the pasture grounds every day, his parents are immersed in an unbearable ocean of separation, practically burning in a massive fire of separation throughout the day. The only thing that keeps them alive and pacifies them is from now and then they hear from a distance the sweet sound of his flute. And Srimad Bhagavatam, as well as the Acharyas, explain that the crest jewel of all ultimate realizations of love is the love of the gopis of Braja. Madhurya Ras, the sweetest of all loving relationships, is gopis. It should not be mistaken that they are ordinary women having some exchange with a man. The gopis of Vrindavan have attained the highest levels of pure spiritual divinity. Most of gopis have descended from the spiritual world as nityasiddhas to assist Krishna. They are eternally perfect personalities who come in their self-same eternal spiritual bodies. And then there are the Shrutachari gopis. Shrutachari gopis, they personified Vedas, who got the benediction of the Lord at the beginning of creation to take the form of gopis. And the Munichari gopis, they were the persons, great sages in the Dandakaranya forest who worshipped Gopal in ecstatic love. And when they saw Lord Ramchandra, their ecstasy became so intense. They wanted to marry him. Of course, they would not speak a word of it, but Ram could understand his heart, their hearts. He said, in this incarnation, I have vowed only one wife, Eka Patni Brata, Sita. But I will come at the end of the Dwapara Yuga, and at that time you will be born as Gopakanyas, as the children of the Gopas. And in gopi bodies, I will fulfill all of your innermost heart's desires. So gopis of Vrindavan, young gopis, they were in the most perfect state of pure devotion, willing to give everything and anything, only for the pleasure of Krishna. Their hearts are empowered with the capacity to give the greatest pleasure of love to Krishna. And Krishna reciprocates accordingly. So Sukadeva Goswami explains in Srimad Bhagavatam how some of these gotvis, they did Katyayani Vrat. Katyayani Vrat means for a month they fasted, only eating this habishan, very simple type of khichdi without spices or salt. And every morning they would go to Jamuna and they would pray for Krishna as their husband. Now why did they pray Krishna as husband? Because they knew it was Krishna's desire. They were not doing it for themselves. They were doing it for Shamsundar. Simply to please him. On this night of Sarat Purnima, when Krishna saw the beautiful moon rising on the horizon, most beautiful of all moons of the year, it was reddish, as if it was covered with kumkum. It was generating such an aura of golden light that all the trees, the leaves, the flowers, the river Jamuna, the clouds, and the sky itself was just radiant with the lush volumes of mystical artistry that the moon created. At that time, Krishna, who created this whole scene by his own yogamaya potency, decided it was time to fulfill the desires of his beloved gopis, whose heart's only longing was to please him, to serve him, and to love him. Krishna stood near the bank of Jamuna, on bank of it, on, under the tree called Bamsibat. And there he took out his smallest bamboo flute named Venu that had 5 holes. He played the 5th note of his flute. He was playing so many sweet songs on his flute. When Krishna would blow that flute, the innermost love of his heart came through his breath, filled that flute, and came out of its holes to enter into the atmosphere. Yayatamam prapadyante tamstataiva bhajamyaham. According to everyone's particular relationship with Krishna, Krishna reciprocates accordingly. So everyone responded to the call of the flute in their own particular ways. Gopis, they were engaged in so many household activities. Some were milking cow, some were cooking milk, some were serving relatives and family members. Some are taking care of children. Whatever they were doing, when that flute entered into the holes of their ears and penetrated the core of their hearts, they became mad with ecstatic spiritual love. Without considering anything else, they left for the forest to meet with Govinda. Krishna tells us in Gita, Sarva dharman parityaja mam ekam sharanam braja. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender to me. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught that the highest example of that principle is the gopis of Vrindavan. That there is no love that is equal to that of the gopis. They are the crest jewel of all devotees. They abandon everything to please Krishna. Some of the gopis were not allowed to come due to their family members, literally with sticks, telling them, you're not going out tonight. We learn from Srimad Bhagavatam and its commentators that these were gopis who still had some material attachments in their heart. To go to be with Krishna for his beautiful moonlit dance, you had to be an absolutely perfect soul. No lust, anger, greed, pride, illusion, envy. No desire for liberation. You had to have a totally pure heart. Now, when a person becomes purified through the process of devotional service, he can come to the level of asadana siddha. That means you become perfect through practice of following in the footsteps of great souls. When you enter into such a stage and you remember Krishna at the time of death, then you are transported to a planet within the material existence where Krishna is performing his pastimes. Now there are innumerable planets within material existence. And somewhere in the material world, Krishna is always performing each and every one of his leelas. As soon as he bursts the head of Agasura and comes out, he's doing it somewhere else in another universe. That is Nitya Leela. Nitya Leela means in the spiritual world it is always taking place. In the hearts of the pure Paramahamsa Vaishnavas, it is always taking place, and they can even sometimes see it with their eyes. But it also means that it's always taking place somewhere within the material cosmos, each of his pastimes. So a devotee who attains the perfection of bhakti goes to a planet, and there they are trained by the nitya siddhas in their eternal relationship with the Lord. And then when Krishna winds up that leela, then the soul goes back to Goloka Vrindavan, the eternal spiritual world. So some of these gopis, they still had infinitesimal tinges of some attachments to the world or to the body. They were not permitted to go to the Raslila. But the sound of Krishna's flute maddened them with such intense love. They tried everything to go, but they could not. So they simply closed their eyes and meditated upon the beautiful form of Krishna, meditated on the sound of his flute, meditated on his pastimes, and meditated on his holy names. And the intensity of the separation from him on this night was like a blazing fire. And that blazing fire utterly burned to ashes
any tinge of material contaminations that may have been in their hearts. And this is the process by which they became absolutely perfect and pure in the separation of the Lord. It is said that they actually gave up their bodies. They were burning so much in separation. It doesn't mean they died. What it means is they gave up their material conceptions completely. And then for the next Rasa Lila, they were actually of a spiritual substance which qualified them to attend. So the Braj Gopis all assembled at Bamsibat with Lord Krishna. How they were going. None of them even knew anyone else was coming. When they arrived, Krishna glanced upon them. The Supreme Personality's glance is the supreme benediction upon the heart and the soul. And he smiled. Lord Krishna's smile. It is the essence of all perfection. To have the beautiful smile of Krishna cast upon you. After totally conquering their hearts, Krishna told them that they should go home. It is very dangerous. In the night, there are ferocious animals in the forest, and there may be robbers and thieves. It is not a place for young, innocent girls like you. If you have come to pick flowers from the jasmine trees, then you may pick them and go home. If you have come just to see me because I called you, you have seen me, so now you can go home. But according to religious principles, your duty is to be with your families. So you must go. Braj Gopis were drawing lines with toes in the Chintamani soil of Vrindavan, weeping tears to hear the Lord's words of rejection, and spoke from their hearts. You are the super soul of everyone. You are the true self. In loving you, the perfection of all our love for all living beings is fulfilled. After all, you are the life force. You are the attractive quality within everyone. According to all the religious scriptures, to surrender to you is the only purpose of our lives. Even the goddess Lakshmi, she's living on your chest, but she's always eager to come down to get the dust of your feet, even though she has to share that position with Tulsi Devi. We have come to take shelter of the dust of your lotus feet. Krishna was so pleased by their surrender. We have given up everything for you. We have given up our homes. We have given up the social conception of our chastity. We have given up everything only for your pleasure. Please accept us. Krishna, very pleased, went on bank of Jamuna, was singing beautiful songs. Krishna was singing about the beautiful Sarat Purnima, the full moon, and the wonderful Jamuna was beautiful lotus flowers blossoming within her dark water, which is resplendent like sapphire. He was glorifying the fragrance of the flowers of the trees. And gopis, they were simply chanting Krishna's names and qualities. Suddenly Krishna disappears. Gopis became mad in separation. They were searching everywhere, asking everyone and everything, "Have you seen the son of Nanda Maharaj?" The creepers, the flowers, the kadamba tree, the bakula tree, the banyan trees. They were asking the birds singing in the trees. They were asking the deers, the river Jamuna herself. Then amongst themselves, they were so immersed in Krishna, they began enacting Krishna's pastimes. In this state, they were roaming through the forest when they found a beautiful footprint of Lord Krishna in the soil, marked with the ornaments of only Krishna's lotus foot. They begin following the footprint. Then they happen to see two sets of footprints. One contained the 19 ornaments that are exclusively decorating the lotus feet of Krishna's beloved pleasure potency, Srimati Radharani. It was at that time that the gopis and Shukadeva Goswami, he revealed the supreme opulence of Krishna's Ladini Shakti, Sri Radhika Rani. Shukadeva Goswami is eternally in the spiritual world Srimati Radharani's personal pet parrot. Who is day and night exchanging wonderful love with his beloved. Name is Sukha. When Krishna left the world, he personally instructed Sukha to appear as Shukadeva Goswami to reveal the world what he has personally seen and experienced in Krishna's pastimes. Now, because of his intimate service to Radharani, he cannot speak her name, or he falls into an ecstatic state of love. And he had to finish the entire Bhagavatam within 7 days before Parikshit Maharaj leaves this world. And also there were many various sectors of sages and rishis there. And the glories of Srimati Radharani are very high and very confidential. Actually, Shukadeva Goswami did not mention a single name of any of the young gopis in the entire Srimad Bhagavatam. But when he came to this section where Krishna left all other gopis to be with that one supreme of all of his lovers, he could not contain himself any longer. And he revealed her name to glorify her supreme position as the conqueror of the Supreme Absolute Truth. Krishna's Madan Mohan, he conquers even Cupid, who is controlling and exploiting our lives. But the pure love of his devotee, Madan Mohan Mohini, conqueror of the conqueror of Cupid. Aniyadadhito nunam Bhagavan Haradishwara Yono vihaya govinda pritoyam anayadraha.
Certainly this particular gopi has perfectly worshipped the all-powerful personality of Godhead, Govinda, since he was so pleased with her that he abandoned the rest of us and brought her to a secluded place. As gopis are following the footprints, they see a place where Krishna is decorating Sri Radharani's hair after he personally picks flowers for her. They could tell by footprints he was picking flowers because there was only half a footprint. He was on his tiptoes. And according to Shukadeva Goswami, Krishna disappeared. And gopis found even Srimati Radharani weeping and crying in separation from him. Then all of them together went to the bank of the Jamuna again and sang Gopi Gita, beautiful songs of praise of Krishna in pure unalloyed love and separation. It was a sankirtan of ultimate affection. And to their great happiness, Lord Krishna appeared to them. He was wearing Vajayanti Mala, which extends below the knees and is decorated with tulsi leaves and at least five different types of wild Vrindavan flowers. He had a yellow garment and his head was bedecked with peacock feather. His beautiful complexion like a dark monsoon cloud, and his eyes like blooming lotus petals. His ruby-lipped lips smiling upon them, drowning them in the ocean of loving affection. Gopis were so happy. They made a nice sitting place and had Krishna sit down. And all of them were offering various types of service to Shamsundar. Gopis asked Krishna a question. There are three types of people in loving relationships. One loves only those people that love them and that give them much enjoyment and encouragement. Another type of person loves, even if you hate them, they love you. Even if you have enmity for them, they love you. They simply love you simply because of love itself. And another person doesn't love anybody. Even if somebody loves you, you just don't love him. Can you explain these different types of loving relationships? Krishna says, one who only loves those who love them, one who only loves those who give that person some sense of enjoyment and fulfillment, that is not real love. That is selfish love. But one who loves, like a mother, even if the child is inimical toward the mother, even if the child rejects the mother and goes to a foreign land, still the mother's love is there. It's unconditional. That is real love. Unconditional love. And some very, very self-satisfied sages, they don't love anything except what they're meditating on. And others who are simply envious. Even if you love them, they will not love you. But my dear gopis, I know what you're trying to ask me. Why, after you gave your hearts, your souls, you everything to give your love to me, why did I leave you? Why did I reject you?
Gopis were very clever. They asked a philosophical question to try to understand, why did you leave us after we gave up everything for you? And Krishna explained. He said, I separate myself from my devotees only to increase their love. When there is love, when separation from the object of love comes, then that separation only intensifies with the ornamentation of deeper and deeper and deeper feelings of ecstasy and love. There is a similar story. In his previous birth, Narada Muni was a maidservant's son. And he actually attained a certain state of love of Krishna. He renounced everything, looking for Krishna in the forest. But then what happened? He actually saw Krishna. He met Krishna. He had the darshan of Krishna in his heart. And then Krishna disappeared, and Narada Muni was plunged in an inconceivable suffering of separation burning in his heart. Then Krishna spoke to him and said, through this process of separation, you will long for me, you will strive for me, you will hanker for me so great that that separation and remaining faithful and give and never accepting any substitute, that will completely purify and cleanse your hearts, and in your next birth you will be my eternal associate. Krishna explained, you have proven the purity of your love. Even though I left you, you simply became mad thinking of me. You didn't go home thinking, wah. You just kept searching. You would accept no alternative, no substitute. Srila Prabhupada taught, this is how the six Goswamis taught us to develop our love for Krishna. We should never be proud thinking, I know Krishna, I love Krishna. Western people, devotees, when we came to India, that was something that was really amazing for us. It's practically everyone you try to talk about Krishna, they say, I know Krishna. Yes, I know Krishna. If you think you know Krishna, you don't know Krishna. The six Goswamis taught us how to learn to love Krishna in separation, how to pray for Krishna, how to long for Krishna, how to feel oneself so insignificant and humble due to not having love for Krishna, and to perform our devotional activities of chanting the holy names, hearing the glories of the Lord, serving the orders of the spiritual master, serving the devotees, by engaging in the basic principles of devotional service with humility and accepting no alternatives, even if it takes our whole life, even if it takes 10 million births, we will never deviate from the path because we want Krishna so much. To please Him, to serve Him, to love Him. That is the price. It is in that spirit that we should be chanting the holy names. My dear gopis, understanding that simply for my sake you had rejected the authority of worldly opinion, of the Vedas, and of your relatives, I acted as I did only to increase your attachment to me. Even when I remove myself from your sight by suddenly disappearing, I never stopped loving you. Therefore, my beloved gopis, please do not harbor any feelings towards me, your beloved. And the next verse that Krishna spoke, we understand the heart of the Supreme Personality of Godhead towards those devotees who offer their loving service to Him unconditionally.
Krishna tells,
I am not able to repay you.
Krishna is the husband of the goddess of fortune. He is Sarva Loka Maheshwaram.
He is the proprietor of everything that exists in all the material and spiritual worlds. But he's actually feeling that he's unable to repay the love of his devotees.
I am unable to repay my debt for your spotless service. Even within a lifetime of Brahma, your connection with me is beyond reproach. You have worshipped me, cutting off all domestic ties, which are very difficult to break. Therefore, please let your own glorious deeds be your compensation.
Krishna's Bhaktivatsal.
This is the essence of all knowledge.
Krishna becomes subordinate to the love of his devotees.
Krishna actually feels he can never pay back the debt of the love of his devotees. Therefore, let your own love, let your own glorious deeds of devotion be your compensation.
The path of bhakti is supreme.
Srila Prabhupada would tell us that when you love Krishna,
Krishna agrees to be conquered by that love.
Actually, it's not that he just plays a game.
He's actually conquered by the love of his devotees,
while simultaneously, he's the supreme conqueror of everything.
Mugdha and Sarvagya.
Mugdha means Krishna, by his own sweet will, becomes bewildered when Yashoda Mai is punishing him. He's actually crying. He's actually fearful. He's not just playing a game. He is. That's how he, by his own sweet will, he comes under the control of the love of his devotee, and at the same time, he's Sarvagya, he's all-knowing. He's reciprocating with the sadhana bhaktas in this world by giving them mercy.
That is the inconceivable nature of Krishna. That is the inconceivable nature of bhakti. At that time, Krishna fulfilled all desires of gopis.
They sang and they danced in the moonlight of the Vrindavan forest near the bank of Jamuna. Krishna expanded himself in and between each gopi to fulfill all of their desires, as only Krishna can do.
This beautiful story should be understood in its proper context. It is the glorification of pure unalloyed love.
Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna in the mood of Sri Radha, the ultimate proprietor of all ecstatic love, the supreme of all gopis, who Krishna cannot live without.
Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving that same love to each of us in this world, unconditional, unmotivated, prideless love.
Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving us a personal invitation back home, back to Godhead, to the eternal forests of Vrindavan.
Through becoming purified,
by living by the principle of being humble like a blade of grass, tolerant like a tree, ready to offer all respect to others and expect none in return. Lord Chaitanya taught us to enter into the Leela of the Lord not by thinking oneself great, by offering all honor and respects to others, by considering ourselves humble and insignificant. And in this pure state of mind, following in the footsteps of the great personalities who are true lovers of Krishna, eager to serve, Lord Chaitanya taught us, this spirit, servant of the servant of the servant, will attract Krishna to appear within his holy name and clean all of the anartas from our heart. Sincere chanting, sincere service. With firm determination that our goal is one. We may have families, we may have occupational duties, we may have social duties, but all of our duties, all of our activities should be harmonized with our one goal in life, to develop this longing and separation for our lost love for Krishna. And that will be achieved, without doubt, if we simply accept Prabhupada's great gift and chant the holy name. Thank you very much. At this time, the darshan that you have been waiting for the last 364 days, will be revealed. According to our eagerness, according to our desire, Krishna reveals himself. As we are chanting the name, we should be crying out for Krishna, for Sri Radharani to bestow their unlimited mercy upon us.